All right, everyone, you know what the Tecmo Bowl music means. It is time for another Papa's Football Podcast. I am John Papa Giorgio, joined by the lovely, the voluptuous, the downright fuckable, you know.
The sweaty Irish
Brian Bolte. You know, it's that Trump factor now that he's out there. I don't mind telling the world I want to grab you by your big, fat, juicy cunt. Did I?
I thought I was grabbing you by the pussy. You know, you got to make it even worse by yelling.
Yeah. There's footage of him saying that backstage at a Slayer show, 97, to Tawny Katane. I want to pick you up like a bowling ball. Show's website, pfpod.com. Go there for a new episode every week. Lately, thanks to Brian's booking skills, we have been having a comedian on to, you know, talk about whatever the hell their team is for the week and bring their unique insights. This week is no different. We are joined by San Diego comedian, Denver Broncos fan, though, Pete McCorvey. Pete, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. How you doing, Brian? What's up, John?
I'm not bad, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Just got off of work, man. So
I know you're tired, man.
About that.
Thanks for being on, Pete.
Yeah, I am.
I'm going to give them a little background how I know you. I moved to San Diego for just over a year, and I used to hang out at the Comedy Palace, do a couple sets. Just like all the comedians there in San Diego, we didn't watch the sets. We'd always hang out in the back bar. Pete, you still hang out with Alan Henderson?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I haven't been able to get up with him a lot because of my work schedule. But yeah, Alan's my guy. I got a show with him right after Thanksgiving.
Alan Henderson, look him up. Funny dude. I went down south towards the border at the Salty Frog, I think it was called.
Salty Frog, right over on Palm Avenue and Period BGL.
Yeah, man. And you featured for Alan. That was his first headline. And you went on, and I was like, this is the funniest dude in San Diego. You killed it, man. You are hilarious. He's a funny dude. He's been doing this. I know you've been bouncing around a bit. You're from Moss Point, Mississippi, right?
Yeah, I'm from Moss Point, Mississippi originally.
The dude is hilarious.
What is that close to? I know, like, jack shit.
Have you ever heard of Biloxi, Mississippi?
Absolutely.
But you're near the water, right? At Moss Point?
Yeah, it's right there on the water. It's right there on the Gulf of Mexico. Like, I'm 20 miles east of Biloxi. Don't feel bad you never heard of them, because that's the same thing I tell. I tell people the same shit. They're like, where are you talking? I'm like, you ever heard of Biloxi? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm 20 miles east of that.
Pete, I have a client, because I actually do work a day job in Moss Point. No, I'm not going to say who it is, but I know where Moss Point is, and I know what it is. I know you're on the water, but I'm curious. How'd you become a Denver Bronco fan?
Okay, well, growing up, a lot of people I know, what a lot of people don't know is Brett Favre is from the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. He's from Hickok County. That's like 2 miles. I mean, that's two counties over from Mars. It's almost like borderline Mississippi, Louisiana border. So I was originally a Packers fan because I knew that he was from down there. And then when they decimated them in Super Bowl 32, I rolled over. I said, man, I got a little salty. I said, man, fuck them. I'm going to the Broncos. And I've been riding with the Broncos ever since.
It's kind
of. Because trust me, I've been with them since 98. And every year ain't been glamorous like last year.
It's kind of funny you say Hancock and Brett Favre, because I've seen his hand and I've seen his cock, and it's kind of a little awkward there. But hey,
is he like an actual?
When I got old and I started to get a little, you know, perverted, I was like, who would name a county Hancock? Got put out of class in the seventh grade because of that.
Not you, Pete. I could definitely see you getting in a little trouble through your years.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, everybody didn't understand my comedic expressions growing up.
I want to hear a little more about Brett Favre down there. Is he, like, worshipped like an actual god? I
mean, yeah, man. That's the first thing you do, especially with me being from Mississippi. A lot of people are like, well, who do y'all, well, how many great things come out of Mississippi? I said, the greatest fucking quarterback to ever play in the NFL came out of Mississippi. What the hell are you talking about?
I fucking loved it. I don't know if you were watching the Green Bay game yesterday, but they were cutting around to him, just screwing off in the tunnel, holding whatever jacket. I guess they were retiring his number.
Yeah.
That was just fucking, I light up seeing that dude. I loved him too. I mean, I'm a Redskins guy through and through, but Brett Favre was a fucking one of a kind, man.
Brett who?
Yeah, that's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever play.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you feeling about your squad's chances starting off, what, I think 3-0? Was it
3-1 now, because they dropped one to San Diego Chargers, which I am so pissed off.
I think they're
4-2.
Yeah, 4-2.
And Pete, I'm sorry. I thought this would be a winner, But I actually kind of chuckled and I said, holy shit, the Chargers pulled one out. Pete's in San Diego.
No, that's what I, because I actually thought about buying tickets because they were there, because one of my friends I work with, like, man, he's a Broncos fan too. He's like, you're not gonna get a ticket. He's like, no, we're not. And, you know, I have a little mud sling with another one of my friends. We always sling mud with him because he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh, fuck
so,
that guy.
Of course, sure enough, we come to work Friday morning, and me and him are holding our head, and, you know, we're hanging our head low, and he comes in, hey, did you see that Broncos game? We're like, fuck you. they kind of did us the same way you white guys did after you found out that the DC sniper was white, because like everybody in my school, like, that's a white dude. I'm not white, black. Like, that's a white dude. Hey, the only white dudes running around. Dude, they found out he was black. Like, yeah, all the black guys in class hanging their head. My friend Kyle, hey guys, you heard about the sniper? Fuck you, Kyle. How about that?
Hey, I'm a DC boy, so I lived that.
Oh, yeah. It was great filling up your gas behind a tarp for a month.
Seriously.
I remember when I heard tell he was down in Montgomery, Alabama. I have family in Montgomery, and my mom, we pulled up at a thing, said, get out and pump the gas. I'm like, look, I know I failed geometry, but damn, don't take it this far.
Shit.
So were there a lot of people sporting their Charger tattoos this Monday morning? Because everyone in San Diego has a Charger tattoo.
We had like two guys that I work with that like admitted they were Chargers, and everybody just looked at them like, what are you trying to prove? I mean, like, okay, you're a Chargers fan, like that the team is still gonna leave. They don't even want to be in San Diego. I mean,
They deserve to be in San Diego. They, you know, all those people have that San Diego Chargers ink on them. They can't move them. They got to be there.
I love the Broncos, but I'm never going to get a horse put on my arm or anything like that. I mean, he'll look like a little pony on my skinny arm. So.
I mean, I don't do tattoos to begin with, but yeah, like fucking Skins are going to have a new mascot, what, 5 years anyhow? He'd really feel like a horse dick. Like, imagine just shelling out for the Robert Griffin III jersey. Oh, multiply gosh. That by like 300. That's what it will be to have the goddamn Brave tattoo on your shoulder. And I know you lived there forever. Pete's still there now. I did 1 week in LA.
Okay.
And went as far down as Orange. And I just want to impress upon the people that were like never been in that area. Everyone has tattoos. Fucking every, like, the widespread acceptance of tattoos in our culture
now. I'm glad you mentioned that, dude. Yeah. I dated, well, I can use that term loosely. I dated this chick.
You pumped like the load in a chick.
like a month and a half. She had like a fucking sleeve on her woman. I mean, if that's the thing with a woman, yeah, but I don't really like sleeves. I accept a shoulder piece or something, but a woman with a forearm tattoo, that's like shit for somebody who ought to be an extra on Sons of Anarchy or some shit. Like, you don't need to be having no forearm tattoo as a woman, but I accept it because she was cute. She was very cute. So I wanted to fuck out. I was like, okay, I'm gonna fuck out. So I look over that. I mean, it's not an arm I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to what's between the legs.
But which might be tattooed. You don't know down there. It might be tattooed. At least pierced.
I don't know. But I didn't even get there for it because speaking of tattoos. So one day she was showing me the rest of her tattoos and she undid a shirt in the back and she leaned down. I was looking at the tattoo she had like on her back right shoulder blade. And I was reading the quote. At first, I'm like, man, I can't make this quote out. I was joking. I said, why, you can't understand you can't read the font? I said, no, you're fucking ashy as hell. And she was like, what? I was like, no, I'm playing with you. You're not ashy. But I read the quote. I can't remember exactly what the quote said. But I read it, and she was like, oh, did you think it was? I said, it was a deep quote. Who is it from? Without hesitation, she said, oh, this is a quote from Drake. I'm like, Drake who? At first, I'm thinking it's like some poor, like, Drake. Jefferson III or some shit. You're like, no, Drake.
She's got it.
I said, we got through that. Drake who? I said, wait a minute. Motherfucking running through the six with my woes, Drake.
Oh, my dear Lord. She had a Drake.
She was like, yes. And I was like, and so I said to myself, I said, okay, you must be his baby mama that you don't want his girlfriend to find out. So you're living like this in squalor, so he don't alert to me. He's like, no. I said, you at least fucked him at a concert one time? She's like, no. I said, then why the hell do you have this man's lyrics on your back? It's Drake. I'm like, you are fucking stupid.
Pete, I hope you dropped a load on her back, wrote Drake on it, and ran away and never talked to her again.
I never even got a chance to even hit it, man, because come to find out the whole time she had a boyfriend, and I was actually, like, when I met her, her and him had a falling out. So I was like the guy that was keeping her preoccupied with him from him. So I'm mad because she had a little boy. And I don't like kids. I just know because she has kids, she has snacks and cable. I'm trying to watch Arthur and I'm trying to drink a Capri Sun.
I just like
Capri Sun. You know how expensive these snacks are?
I miss San Diego because of that reason.
I like Pete holding out hope that it's Sir Francis Drake getting quoted for some reason.
Yeah, I'm like, somebody, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, she said Drake. I'm like, Sir Francis Drake or something? Like, this and she looked at me. She said, well, I know you like music. You don't like. I said, baby, I love Ludacris, but I will never get moved, bitch. Get out the way, tatted on my chest.
Little Luda on a tramp stamp and small of your back, you know.
Ain't
happening.
Now, there's nothing wrong with tattoos, because I'm in the Navy, and that's a big part of our tradition is tattoos. But some of these tattoos, I'd be like, man, really? Like,
You know, living in San Diego, I wanted a tattoo, and I didn't get one, because I feel more unique not having one.
You want to be buried in a Jewish cemetery someday, too.
Well, I'm not Jewish, but yes, I do. For some reason.
It means he died rich.
They call my hair a Jufro, so maybe they'll put me in there.
No, it weirded me out, man. Like, how old are you, Pete?
I'm 27.
Pete's a young
man. Okay, you're younger than me. I remember a day when, like, no shit, you had tattoos. You were, like, either, like, an art student or you were fucking trash.
Badass.
Or you were a badass.
Badass.
Like, when I was in high school, dude was 16, 15 years old. Oh, man, who is that, man? Don't look at that motherfucker. He just got out of juvie, man. That's the guy that they said killed his whole family just because his mama wouldn't let him watch Nip Tuck.
Oh, shit. No, man, and every chick, like you said, now has some stupid quote, like the same kind of shit you could buy, like, on a plaque from Pottery Barn and throw it on your bathroom wall.
A symbol of attractiveness now, because, like, a lot of time when I meet girls and, like, I'll talk to them on the phone after meeting them in the club or something, the first thing they'll ask me, how many tattoos do you have? And I'm like, none. They'll be like, why? I'm like, I don't want them.
Yeah, I fucking hate it, too. I've seen so many, like, how many dumb broads, I guess, well, I'll date myself here, on a MySpace wall, but also a Facebook post or whatever. It'll be like, I don't chase after any man, but if he's got muscles and tattoos, a bitch might power walk. I'm like, what is so great about a tattoo? You like the chance I might have hepatitis? I fucking don't get it at all.
I mean, now, muscles, I understand. Like, you know, like, that's, like, for me, because I'm a short guy. So if I break up with a chick and she said, I got a new man, what do you look like? If a dude walks in the room, he's 6'4", I'm like, man, no, I'm not even mad. You want somebody who can reach shit on the top shelf for you? I can't do that for you. I can't take this relationship to new heights that you want them. I can't do it. I understand. Fair enough.
So back to football just for a bit. Are you thinking Denver's still in decent shape to get the AFC West, or are you afraid of Oakland, who's been resurgent as hell as of late, although they shit the bed with the Chiefs yesterday? I mean, what are you thinking the rest of the season?
It's Oakland. It's going to happen eventually. I mean, it is what it is. I really don't. I told people the honest to God's truth. I said they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I actually don't even want Denver to go to the Super Bowl this year, because I do not want a repeat of 2-3 years ago when they played Seattle.
Oh, and we're just hammered. That was...
Good God. I mean, I was waiting. On Apollo Creed's manager to say, throw the damn towel in. That's how bad they were getting beat.
And 20 years later, like, Peyton Manning is going to... Wait, how would this play out? Peyton Manning would be the dead Apollo Creed, so he has a son that is then managed by John Fox. I don't know. I'm trying to keep it straight in my head.
I've got to know. Pete, do you miss Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I miss Peyton fucking Manning, but I'm not going to lie. I'm really glad he's gone, because him in the Super Bowl, I was like, good God. That was horrible.
Now, are we starting to see that Denver was such a good team because of the defense, despite Peyton Manning, or was Peyton Manning, like, that good?
No, Peyton was horrible. I told everybody, I said, after I watched that Super Bowl, I said, if they give Peyton Manning the MVP instead of DeMarcus Ware or Von Miller, I said, this shit is rigged.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, this shit is rigged, because I already felt it was rigged a few years ago when Baltimore played San Francisco in there, and Joey Flacco going over Jacoby Harris. The man ran two punts back, ran a kickoff, I think it was a kickoff and a punt, or maybe two punts, ran them back for a touchdown. He caught one touchdown. He caught it, fell on the ground, got up, shook off two defenders, went in the stands, served three hot dogs to relish on him, and still scored a fucking touchdown. And you gave it to Joey Flacco.
It pretty much is a quarterback award. I'll be honest, man. It's just the way the league is gone. The league is.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, hey, the quarterback.
I mean,
must have
what I was saying. I was like, if you give this man, because like how I knew it was bad was when he threw that interception to a defensive lineman, and I was like, yeah, it's time to go home. It's time to go home.
What do you think about Lynch? Do you think he's going to do it, or do you think this seventh-round guy that they've been plugging in is going to be their QB?
You're talking about that new young guy that I don't know his name.
Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch is
and Trevor Siemian. Siemian,
yeah, that's it. They got a
the young guy looks pretty good, but I'm saying he's young. So me personally, and a lot of people don't agree, but I think they just never got rid of Brock Osweiler. I thought they should have kept him.
Well, he doesn't look so great with the Texans.
He's looked like shit. He kind of shook it off last night.
He did.
Enough so they wouldn't lose, but
20.
Really feel they should have kept him. Me personally, because I mean, what they should have did was kind of like I remember what Dennis Quaid did with Jamie Foxx at the end of Any Given Sunday. They should have had Peyton Manning to do that to him, like kind of put his differences aside and just start like being his Miyagi to his Daniel side. That's what they should have did.
But the kid got, what did he get, $20 million a year?
Are you kidding? I think Osweiler has a $72 million contract.
$72 million. It's insane. Elway's not going to do that.
Apparently, what leaked, I don't know if it's true, but what they leaked is that they were prepared to come fucking close. Osweiler's just bitter at that point.
No, they,
like,
they really
like,
were.
Fuck you.
But has he proven he's worth that kind of money? And when you're
not in Houston, he didn't.
Yeah, one of the stories so far of the year is that contract was a fucking piece of shit. Like, up until last night. People are openly talking, like, when are they going to ditch his ass? Like, how much are they on the hook for out of that 72?
Well, how much is his contract?
$72 million.
Yeah, that's not, like, 72 guaranteed.
I like when they say, oh, this contract is a piece of shit. I'll be like, man, I'd take that shit and run.
No. Yeah, it's fucking.
I wish I would be in NFL. We only go get 72 million. I'm cool. But you don't know, motherfucker, I'm cool.
It's horrifying because you can throw out numbers like, okay, he's going to just walk away $3.5 million. And you really sit down and crunch those numbers. That is what you and I will probably earn in a fucking lifetime. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
$72 million? I'm not going to make $72 million in my life.
No, I'm talking just that fraction of a year, the $3.5 million. The 72, God, we could only be so
Pete
lucky.
And I have done shows for a beer.
Really?
You're damn right. That's all I would tell them. I'm like,
for real.
I'd be like, we'll give you $72 million. I'm like, it's going to be some Bud Light and some blonde bitches with big titties. Yeah, goddamn it, you got a goddamn quarterback.
We've walked up to the bar and said, hey, I did a set. Can I get a Jack and Coke? They're like, nope, you get a draft beer. That's your contract. And it's like, fuck you. Thanks. I drove all the way down to National City. Speaking of tattoos, I just saw a baby with one.
Nice.
It was a little weird. But we just drove all the way down here to do a 5-minute set, and I can get a draft beer. These guys are making millions. And being a comic is harder than being a football player.
Good God, yes it is.
Pete, are we allowed to talk about your day job at all, or you good?
Oh yeah, you can, because I talk about it on stage myself, so I don't care.
All right, so you're Navy, but like, are you based? Like, do you get to stay in San Diego, or do you have to like fucking pull up anchor, and then suddenly you're, you know?
I'm based in San Diego, but next summer I'm actually going to Georgia. I'm actually going to get stationed in Augusta, Georgia next summer.
So then you try to like make a comedy scene for yourself there for as long as possible.
Well, no, they got a little scene because see, that's the thing I actually like about doing comedy all over. I actually. Like I said, I lived in Atlanta before, like a year and a half before I joined the Navy. To be honest with you, I didn't want to join the Navy, but like I was out of college, I didn't have a job, and I'm like, I don't want to end up being a bum doing this. I just don't want to take the bum route. So I actually met a guy who was a veteran. He said, man, this is going to help you out a lot more, man. He said, because you're going to meet people from all around the world. You're going to go out around the world, have all kinds of experiences. And one of my friends, when I was in Atlanta, he graduated from high school in Augusta. And his mom was in the military, so I pretty much already got an Indian guide for Augusta, because he performs in Augusta, and then Augusta's only 2 hours away from Atlanta. It's only 2 miles, I mean, not 2 miles, 2 miles, 2 hours east of Atlanta. So I'm just like, I'm really going back to my stomping grounds, and I'm happy too, because Atlanta comics are like Atlanta comedy scene is real tougher than San Diego, because, you know, we saw a lot of bullshit out here.
Pete. Enjoy San Diego while you're there. I'm in D.C. right now. And there's no comedy clubs. It's all bar shows. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy them. It's fun. But I didn't realize how spoiled we were in San Diego. Like,
you are. Like, I found that out when I went back home to Atlanta. And, like, they looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
three comedy clubs, three open mics. You got, for you especially, because you're a funny-ass dude. There, my first set in San Diego, I got invited to do a bar show that night of, just because. And when I found out they're going to pay me with a mixed drink, I told them I can't make it, and I should have done it. Like you said, I told you, yeah. I had a set in Georgetown, D.C., and you're like, you better go do it. It'll make you stronger. And you're right, it did make me stronger. But it was fun. It's a different crowd, but it's a bar shows are tough, man. I miss going to the comic club.
Atlanta has a bar scene, too, but unlike San Diego, Atlanta has a lot of, you know, if you've seen Dirty South rap videos, yeah, I've been in some of those bars, and I've been in some of those bars where you have, like, drug dealers that'll make Nino Brown and Tony Montana be like, shit, we don't need to be in here. These motherfuckers crazy. like, I've been on some shows where I remember I had one friend of mine. We went to a show performing in front of a bunch of drug dealers and their girlfriends and stuff. And one guy walked out, he had a bucket hat on. My friend got it, was a white guy. He's real funny, but he's one of them white guys who can hang with black guys. And like, he'd go in the urban crowd. Like, I've been on some shows with him. He's in the urban crowd. He'll rock out, and I'll shit a brick.
that was me this weekend.
So it was one show we did, I'll never forget this. A dude got up as a drug dealer type cat. He got up, he had a white bucket hat on. So he's walking out, he walked by the stage, and my friend said, "All right, Gilligan, have a good night," and we all laughing. We thought it was funny. And we all doubling over laughing. We ain't seen nothing. You know, guy got up on stage, socked the shit out of my homie, man.
Fuck, man.
And then when he walked out, see, the thing, he thought he a comic, he tell jokes, but little you know, like, a lot of comics in Atlanta, a lot of them got 1 foot on stage and 1 foot in the street, or 1 foot on stage and 1 foot in county jail. So yeah. They stood up, and they was like, "My man, you know where the fuck you at right now?" And I have never seen you. You wouldn't think guys who are that funny can fight like that. They beat the hell out that man.
And you know what? Comics have each other's back. If you go and heckle and someone can't
handle
this shit.
Oh, please. Maybe in these great bars.
No, for real.
It's tough.
I would be there.
If I saw you punched out, I'd be like, yeah, beat the shit out of that fucker. He had it coming.
Pete, I did a show in Georgetown, D.C. It was a dozen comics and two white guys.
Yeah.
And part of my set was... I did some gay stuff about my brother being gay and stuff like that. And I'm kind of looking around the room like, do I need to change my set? And my boy looked at me and goes, don't be a pussy. Get up there and do your shit. Do your set. Don't be scared. You got to be fearless. I went up and they laughed. It doesn't, you know, you got to get up like you said.
What do you mean they?
The crowd. I was the white guy in the crowd, and that's cool. But you got to be fearless. And it doesn't matter. You got to be fearless. Pete's fearless comic.
Yeah,
he's a fearless comic.
Yeah, I did comedy in Atlanta. I did comedy in Atlanta, and one of the jokes I used to tell was like, because Atlanta has a large population of gay men. That's when I first got there, I was scared. But then I realized, man, shit, because the joke I tell, I said, shit, y'all get mad at these gay men in Atlanta. I said, you need to be thanking them. I said, shit, women already outnumber us 10 to 1. You take away the gay dudes, that's 20 to 1. Take away the guys, they fucking, that's 30 to 1. And take away the guys that's on the down low, and the guys that's like, I said, man, this is 40 to 1. You can't miss. I said, shit, I said, you know how most people will cap and cross up a church every time they see me? I said, every time I see a gay man walking down the street, I cross them. I'm like, thank you, Diesel, for putting that blessing in my life.
I'm the same way, man. It's one less competitor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I said, y'all worried about the competition. You need to be thanking it.
All right, Pete. We're going to wrap this up. I really appreciate you being on. I know you as Petey Mac, and I kept saying that, and I apologize. It's Pete.
Oh, no, it's still like that, because when I go back home, when my friends back home answer the phone, they call me. It's interchangeable.
Well, like I told John, when somebody introduces me, Alan introduced me as Pete. You were Petey Mac. So tell you what, give me your Twitter handle.
My Twitter handle is @PeteyMac89. That's PeteyMac89.
Where you at on Facebook?
On Facebook, I'm Pete McCarver on Facebook. PeteyMacCorv. As a Victor EY.
All right, you got anything else to plug? You got a show coming up or anything you want to plug?
Nah, it's kind of slow motion for me for a little bit. I got some military obligations coming up.
I was going to say.
So my next one won't be until November 29th.
You are a good man. Pete really, literally just walked off a damn boat and came onto our show. So I appreciate you doing that, Pete.
No worries, brother.
You're a good man. Hey,
have a good one, Pete.
Pete, I'll be back in San Diego this summer. I'll hit you up.
All right.
All right, buddy. Later.
Thanks, man.
Later.
Oh, I think we cut him off right at the end there. Pete's a good dude.
Pete's a good guy.
Yeah, and you might want to add, not only right off the boat, had to stay out of his house because I don't know if you were making a black joke or not, but you said he has like a shitty Cricket or Boost Mobile or something.
That's what he said. I just assumed it was Boost Mobile. Wasn't trying to make the black joke, but he said he literally he couldn't go back to the barracks because he didn't get a signal.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, in San Diego, of course, I have Sprint. I don't get a signal here, but I didn't get a signal there either.
So he was like, I don't know, fucking pacing, talking to us, like just walking around a pier. I don't know what you guys do in San Diego other than get tattooed.
Pretty much just get tattooed. You do drugs, smoke a lot of weed, and get your hair color blue for some reason. I don't know.
I liked him describing the scene in a black comedy club like that would ever go down in a white comedy club. Like if one of the comics got assaulted, is there a less masculine, emasculated, beta male collective than what's in a comedy club?
But, dude, it happens because a lot of them don't pay for security anymore. And do you know who Big Jay Oakerson is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He got a bunch of shit because one of the comics made a joke.
Big Jay could work security.
He did work security for years, and he had to go, like, pull a dude and, like, slam him down off stage because one of the comics was being assaulted.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, this is a big-time comedian, and he's freaking... basically working security. What does that tell you?
Wow.
So we're and you're getting into the comedy scene.
Was Jim Norton forced to suck a young lady's penis because he likes that? Big J might have fucked up.
That penis he thought was a clit, so it's all good. That shit happens.
All right, well let's summarize the rest of the games of the week. We mentioned in passing with Petey McCorvey that Denver managed to shit the bed with San Diego, so instead of like holding on to their lead in the AFC West, I think they're dropped down to being tied with who the fuck, Oakland.
And Oakland shit the bed too, though. KC beat
them.
How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, no one wants the AFC West, and that's not a good thing because you want to win in football. There's my expert analysis.
Here's our expert analysis. We want to win.
I guess the story of the week outside of scores, the whole issue with penalties for excessive celebration. I don't know if you've been keeping track of this, and we'll get into how I didn't get to see the Skins called for this, unfortunately, because I will not see a Redskins game for the next 4 to 6 goddamn weeks because I'm taking stand-up and improv classes during Sundays. You can see this plays into the, I don't want to do the whole, like, we're into football, we're manly men, but you can tell comics are a little queeby when a 4-hour class is scheduled 12:30 to 4 in a goddamn NFC East city.
Comics, I'm telling you, John, it's difficult to book comics every week because there's so many that don't give a shit. And I'm used to, like, you and I, we're guys, so we love football. So you just assume they all love football.
Well, my stand-up class teacher is from Philly, and, like, I don't care if you're the fucking poet laureate of Philly, you're still a degenerate alcoholic piece of shit who did time in that little jail they used to have in the old Eagles stadium.
Like, because you're throwing snowballs at Santa.
Yeah, you're...
You fucking asshole fans.
You're heaving car batteries at the armed forces people that were paid to appear there with all the fake patriotism shit.
Boo, Eagles.
Yeah, so I got to miss the Redskins apparently trouncing the fuck out of them. I'm just watching... I felt like a little old-timey newsy kid in a classroom where the newsy kids... I guess they were on the streets, actually. This was back when you could drop out with a kindergarten education and make it big. I felt like I was listening to baseball when it mattered on a transistor radio, except I had my smartphone, and I'm just doing live updates of the scores every 30 seconds and showing Oathman and Jay at my table.
So you know how it is for me to watch football now. So I can kind of watch 5 sacks.
I asked rookie... about football, not your Friday night.
my boy Matt Jones went nuts.
Yeah, apparently he crushed. I got a text from Howard, who was live texting me because he thinks I don't own a smartphone. Like, I don't know if he thought he was sending text my fucking Motorola Razr or something. But, yeah, it was like, Skins are up 14-0. I'm like, shit, I'm missing this. Apparently, Cousins then throws a pick 6.
Pick 6,
then there's an excessive celebration penalty, which is getting me on this topic, which sets up favorable field position, and the Eagles return a kick for a touchdown. So it's like 14-14, like you blink and it's a tie game.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
But the consensus afterward is that the Skins crushed them. And I'm like, they were tied at one point off of some really sloppy play. So I don't know how you call that a crushing, but I missed a crushing apparently.
I heard the same thing. I listened to a review and it's like, well, the score doesn't show you what happened in the game. The Skins really controlled it. I'm like, it's a touchdown. I don't see how that scares me for the Skins because they could blow that touchdown break.
Exactly. Yeah. I did read a headline stating, I think Cousins commented, we were actually drained as an offense from being on the field too long. And like, that's a cool thing to read. That's like a boxer saying like, I had to kind of sit down for a bit because my fist hurts so much from like bashing the guy's brain through the front of his skull.
They literally, I think it was 20 minutes. They just controlled the clock. They didn't let them back on. They just, you know, when Matt Jones has 8 yards a carry,
why would you call anything else?
But it blows me away because dude hasn't done it. And all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Did he? And he didn't have a fumble either.
No. He got onto the ball. He got a.
Not very Jonesian.
135 yards and a touchdown. And Cousins did throw that pick six, but he controlled the clock and that's all they had to do. The Eagles were. They showed everyone who the Eagles are. They are 26th in passing.
Mean Carson Wentz isn't a prodigy? Maybe they should have waited to get someone in the fourth round. Fuck the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to that later.
After this game, it blows me away. They said no one's been putting pressure on this rookie. The Skins, who do not have a very good defensive line.
No, I wanted Joe Barry to have a goddamn aneurysm while taking a shit, Elvis style, like for the most
I want to kiss
season.
Him on the mouth. He finally did something. They got five sacks. They put pressure on him the whole game. And then, the person that won the game was the offensive coordinator because they controlled the clock and won the game that way. But they literally showed the Eagles are done. The Skins do not have a good defensive line. They showed if you pressure him, he falls apart.
Done. It blows my mind that hasn't been thought of before. Like, I'm no defensive guru.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm no Wade Phillips here. But there's, like, two options in football. Blitz the guy or, like, do coverage and don't blitz the cornerback.
Of course, we have Josh Norman and Breland, who are great corners, but put pressure on a rookie and he'll implode? What a thought. Wait, next week. They've got Dallas. They're done.
Yeah.
Eagles are done.
I hope not. I hope they somehow luck out a win.
I do, too. Yeah. I hate them both, but I'd rather Eagles win. But
Dallas is like the Antichrist, man. Like, one of these is actual Satan. The other's like Hitler. You know what I mean? Like, a piece of shit, but a human being.
Do I root for Satan or Hitler?
Exactly. You root for Hitler.
No.
So the NFL, really, the vibe has been under Goodell's reign. I think he put it out at one point, like, his priority is going to be player discipline. And I don't know how you say that to a group of grown men, I am here to discipline you. Like, maybe if it's like a gay bathhouse thing. Like, that scenario is appropriate. Otherwise, I don't have the balls to look a grown fucking man in the eyes and say, I am here to keep you in line. Pretty much left off in parentheses, you unruly Negroes. Like, we good white people who buy the beer and the dick pills and the fancy cars that are advertised are sick of your celebrations. And you know what? I guess celebrations can go too far when it's like a 45-second delay and like, 18 of your cousins were on the field with you or something like that. Short of that shit and like maybe you signifying like slitting the throat of an opponent, that might be a little personal. Short of that, I don't give a fuck. You just made something magical happen. Millions of people are losing their minds watching you on TV and in the stands right now because of what you did.
The No Fun League.
It's getting maddening. And
it really is.
I'm so pissed. Because there's a lot of commenters on various sites that I frequent that aren't X-Hamster, where it's like, the ratings, you apparently didn't know this, the ratings are down something like 15%, like a not bullshit amount.
That shocked
for the NFL.
Me. It
like
really
a
did
goodly
shock me.
Chunk, yeah. And everyone's like, it's because these people aren't standing for the anthem. I don't give a shit, like, really?
Are you standing for the anthem?
First of all,
it does piss me off. Don't get me wrong. It pisses me off.
I don't give a fuck.
But it probably shouldn't. Because you know what? I'll be honest with you. When the anthem plays, if I'm the rare occasion I get to watch a game, I'm not standing.
I don't give a fuck if Ryan Kerrigan wipes his ass with the Mona Lisa before the game. Like, if he plays.
He might give me a boner.
Yeah, if he gets four
Ryan
sacks
Kerrigan's
that game,
attractive
guess
man.
What? Like, I'll get the fucking Vincent Van Gogh self-portrait lined up for him next week. He can fucking empty my coffers and wipe his ass with a Monet. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm there to watch something entertaining. To me, it's just become too regulated. It's become too oversaturated. Why is there a Thursday game? The Monday night game sucks shit now. So the Sunday night is the highlight product. But guess what? I have to watch a Sunday 1 p.m. game because that's when the Skins play. And I have to watch the 4 p.m. game because that's when, like, the good game used to be. So they really haven't made that a shit game yet. So you're asking for, like, 11 of my Sunday hours, and then I'm supposed to fit in, like, Westworld or whatever the fuck the 19 good shows that only air on Sunday happen to be on that given Sunday. Then I'm supposed to get pumped up for Monday and Thursday on top of that? Fuck that shit, man.
There's television still out there?
I know. You have kids. Well, I've made the choice to scour my seed from the earth so I get to watch things in peace.
But you're right, though, because back in the day when I didn't have kids, I would watch the Skins game, I'd watch the night game, and I'd watch the Monday game. Definitely. And I'd also because I'm a fantasy guy, I'd follow everything that was going on. Who's the next guy that's going to come up? What's going on? I'd be watching ESPN. I'd be watching everything, and I don't anymore. And it seems to be that must be the case across the board.
I mean, it's not – you don't have to be fucking Copernicus to figure out the end of the day. NFL's just entertainment. That's it. And it depends on the quality of that entertainment and the accessibility of that entertainment. And if I can, for $10 a month, subscribe to Netflix and get, like, Orange is the New Black and all that other shit. What do we have? House of Cards. And it's easy as hell to get. I don't have to pay for Sunday Ticket. I pay $10 a month and I can watch Kevin Spacey fight with Claire while I'm taking a shit with the phone on my hamper. And it's great. Wouldn't have it any other way. At some point, like, I've found myself multiple times this year just doing other things with my life. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's a game on. And I turn to it and the play's shitty. And I'm like, you know what? I'm fucking done with it.
You know, I got it. But I'm still shocked. NFL, football, that's America's game. Baseball's not America's game.
No, hell no. It's a bunch of Dominicans. Oh, you meant like popularity.
Popularity.
I made it racial.
Well, yeah. But I still see everyone getting hyped up. I still see people going out in the morning to get their beers and or the jerseys on. I just make these.
I see that every day because I'm in a bad part of town.
Well, I'm in the burbs, and that, like, for the burbs, us slightly overweight middle-aged guys, that's our day. Our wives let us get together with our buddies. We get to
this
drink too much beer.
I don't
want to
get
beer.
Married. Our wives let us. I only want to say my mom lets me. Once she's dead, it's smooth sailing.
My mom, after two beers, says, isn't that enough? Yeah. Maybe you've had enough beer.
I scream, I'll tell you when I've had enough.
Shut up and give me another one.
Yeah.
Mom!
You want it in your tippy cup? Yes!
But I'm shocked that the ratings are down, to be honest with you. I really thought that the...
I'm not... Mark Cuban said something profound years ago when fucking football thought it was the anointed one, and it just wanted to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And he says, you know what? The hog that gets fat enough gets slaughtered.
Same guy that's trying to buy a football, NFL football.
Oh, absolutely.
Team.
Yeah, yeah. He don't give a shit. He still wants some bacon. But he's absolutely right. Like, there's just an a complete unregulated greed that was the undercurrent of this game. It was, like, just mission statements of we're making, like, 25 bill this year. We want it to be like 50 bill in 5 years. It's the same. It was that corporate mentality of like, oh, our corporation didn't have 2%, 3% growth this quarter. What the fuck is wrong with it? Whose head is going to roll? How about you just put a good product out? You settle for making your goddamn 25 billion like gross domestic product of many countries for the year and you call it a day.
Well, tell me this, like the 9:30 games, do you like that? Are you even up to watch that, the whole London thing?
I like that more than most. Oh, I don't remember. I usually, like, halfway through, a friend, again, I owe Howard this, he texted me for the first one a couple weeks ago and was like, hey, are you watching this? And then I rolled over in bed, and I was. I kind of dig the 9:30 shit.
Okay.
Like, that I don't mind. If you want to make Sunday this wall of games, and I pick and choose what I want from that, that's cool. The extra nights during the week.
But they're doing this because they want a London team.
Yeah.
I just don't... How are they going to get players?
They never will.
Yeah.
They never fucking will.
They're going to be the Cleveland Browns of today. They're going to be 1-15.
I mean, unless they manage to convince every kid in college that British chicks live and die by black dick, like, no one's going to want to live in that city.
Well, they probably would, actually. That's something Maybe. Different for them. They really could.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to think that the accent thing goes both ways.
How does the accent feel in my balls? Yeah. Maybe. Signed.
I mean, as much as we dig British accents, there's some kind of kick to them with us sounding like us. There's no way it can't sound that way, right? Like,
I don't know. Maybe we could walk in there.
Like, maybe we sound dumb as fuck. Like, maybe this is the equivalent of, like, a Mississippi accent.
Don't kill my boy Pete. No,
he was funny. I don't know. I worked with a British guy for a long time, and he said, like, he and his dad were driving down the south one time, and they pulled over, and just some girl in, like, cutoffs, and it sounds like, hey, y'all. And they were like, it was the hottest fucking thing either of us ever heard. So, you know what? We all just like shit that sounds different. I don't know why it does it for us. But no team is ever going to move to London. They can't do it logistically. Like, maybe they'll try to re-explore NFL Europe. I don't know. But they fucking want too much. They're trying to grab and gobble everything. Do you know that teams now, like, official team Twitter accounts cannot use GIF? Fuck anyone who says GIF. I'm the guy saying GIF, like the peanut butter. Cannot use GIFs of game footage of their own fucking team.
Are you serious?
Like, if...
That's some bullshit.
Yeah, if Pierre Garçon gets a goddamn touchdown, the Redskins cannot, like, play footage or at least a GIF of said touchdown in their Twitter feed.
That's ridiculous. I just try to get, who's your girl, Sarcasmic?
Yes.
I asked her to call in to break down the Pittsburgh game for us, and she said she didn't watch it.
No, I can explain it to you. There was a guy in my stand-up class who was I guess still is. I don't think he changed allegiances in the last 24 hours. Is a Miami Dolphins fan, and we walked out.
One of my best boys is a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, we walk out, and he's like, well, you're reading scores. Tell me, you know, how much did they lose by? And I just saw 30-15, and I'm like, oh, they lost 30-15. And then I look at my phone again. I'm like, oh, wait, you missed them beating the Steelers 30-15. And he just had that look like I had, like, this doesn't happen much. Thank you,
stand-up
class, for taking that from me. This class is just 15 people performing five-minute sets. When it's not your set, you might as well be coming into a bucket in the corner. Like, it means nothing.
That's why, once again, I miss San Diego, because all that was practice, and I didn't have to pay money. I paid a beer for the host, and I got all.
Oathman, Pete, and I were all lazy pussies about ever doing open mic, so we pay $350. Suddenly, we really care. But there's, like, a middle-aged, heavy-set black woman who makes it very clear that she's married to a woman in the class. To hear her set and then hear our instructor critique, like, how to make it funny you have a wife when you're a chick, that applies literally shit-fuck to my life and my act.
It's all about doing it and the fact, but I'm so excited because that means you guys have to come me and be the nervous person ready to go on stage.
We paid so much goddamn money for that class. We should be allowed to go in the hall like we're waiting for our sons to be born and smoke cigarettes and watch the game on TV.
You should be able
and
to.
Then they tap us on the shoulder, you're up. And,
they should be giving you beers. For that kind of money, you should get a draft beer, a cigarette, and a place to hang out.
But no, apparently, given my luck, we're going to miss the most miraculous four Redskins games in a row.
Not that I get to watch them on my phone. What's the update? Okay, somebody ran.
I mean, that's how I do it, man. I'm a big phone. I have the Verizon. I am a shameless shill for that. I'm not saying Verizon's perfect. They have an app that, unique to them, I can apparently watch all in-market NFL games on my phone.
They don't work so well at the pumpkin patch, John, when you're there with your children.
Oh, man. I'll give you that. Let's go through the rest of the games of the week real fast. San Francisco, Kaepernick, his first starting appearance. Yeah. I don't know what people expected. The guy was having issues enough to be benched. I know he's recently discovered his blackness, you know, and kudos to him for that, I suppose.
Parents are very upset about this.
Yeah. He's got the big fucking Erykah Badu hair now.
I got the same hair as him, dude. It's not a big, you know, it's not that impressive.
I mean, you have short and curly hair. I have.
I have the fro if I let it go.
I've done it once or twice as a goof, but never to that extent.
But I could do it.
And I laughed today. The reason I laughed so hard is I heard somebody say the 49ers are worse than the, they're the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they are.
The worst, even worse than the Browns.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. The Browns are at least like, we have sold off everything. This is the bottom. We hope it goes up. The 49ers are at that stage of, we clearly do not know what the fuck we're aiming for on any level.
And we signed Chip Kelly to a contract.
Yeah, we signed Chip Kelly. That was our big Hail Mary. And it's not going to pan out because their personnel is dog shit.
It really is. And the overpriced contracts.
Dog shit.
Who are they going to sign with these big contracts?
So they get smashed by a resurgent Bills. I think what? They lose 16-45.
It was bad. It was really bad.
And I mean, Rex, after the first two games of the season, I think they start 0-2. And I'm like, those motherfuckers, like, they made such a mistake with that fat fuck, that little foot worshiper. And so I know he's your boy. And now they're 4-2, one game behind the Patriots, own a tiebreaker currently over them.
Yeah, and beat the Pats.
Yeah. It's not something I would have guessed, sir.
Was it McCoy? Their running back's killing it.
Yeah, they got Shady.
They got Shady's killing it. Quarterback's there. The
Tyrod.
They have the defense.
Tech kid, right? Yeah.
He is a tech kid. Yeah, but, tech. And I didn't believe in him when he got the. I didn't think he was going to get the contract. I didn't believe in him. But they're doing it. 4 in a row.
Yeah, and it's Buffalo, so I'm going to see one of their games per year. Like, I have to wander probably to a Buffalo bar. We got, what is it, Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
I try not to go there.
I mean, it's a weird, speaking of lesbians, it's like it's got a weird, like, lesbian hookup vibe on Friday night. But
is that like the place you walk in, I'd walk in and feel like an eight?
I guess, yeah. I mean, if you shave your face and try to go as a chick, you'd clean up. You'd clean up. It'd be like the scene with, what was it, who's the angry one? In Trainspotting.
Is that Bigby? Not Trainspotting again. You made me laugh with Trainspotting and I felt horrible about myself.
It would be the opposite version. No, it'd actually be the same as when Bigby goes up the quote-unquote, the Jim Norton lady's skirt and finds a dick. That would happen to the kindly lesbian that you pick up at Jimmy's. They'd go up your jeans leg and be like, what is this?
We had somebody trying.
Like, it's an Irish dick. Think of it as a thick clit. We're good. Carolina might as well just pack it in. Carolina needs to just pack it in, get a sweet draft pick. They lose on a last second field goal in New Orleans, I believe. They lose 41-38. That was I caught the end of that game. I missed pretty much all 4 p.m. games, but I got to see that. I was at a bar in time to catch that.
This is Carolina, the 1-5 Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, fucking.
How did that happen?
Because they gave away Josh Norman like he was a piece of shit.
41-38. This is defense.
You mean the lights out defense? Yeah.
The lights out defense. Thank you, Josh Norman, for coming to the Redskins. But holy.
Yeah, he hasn't been perfect, but Jesus Christ, like he's the only guy I know whose worth I gauge more by not what he's giving to us, but how shitty the team he's left has become with not many other subtractions.
I really think that they're without certain people, though, but it shows
I think Cam Newton
shutdown corner can do for a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And apparently the great moment of the game, fuck anything that happened on field, there was a Carolina touchdown and Cam Newton gave the touchdown ball to a kid in a Panthers jersey. And as soon as he got it, he apparently pulls it off to reveal he's in a Saints jersey.
But I literally was blown away. I know the Saints can't stop anything.
No.
But the fact that it
certainly
was...
can't stop a hurricane.
Jesus. 41-38 though. The Panthers, their light, what happened to their lights out defense? Was Josh Norman that pillar?
It's looking more like it. I mean, that's a stupid analysis, and obviously I'm wrong because I pay no attention to any of this garbage, but I don't think they lost that much outside of him.
It's amazing though.
And they really were strengthened by a draft class. I mean, everyone else was too, but...
But where's Carolina's running game? If Cam's imploding, getting concussions, it's amazing what he did with the wide receivers they have. They don't have... Ted Ginn is not that talented. I'm sorry. He'll catch...
They got Olsen, right?
They've got Olsen. Yeah. He's the sure hands, but he's not... He's not Gronk.
He's their Witten.
He's not Reed. He's the guy that's the possession
receiver.
He's
pretty goddamn good, man.
But he's a possession receiver.
We're getting some sort of call. I don't recognize this number.
It's Tim. He wants to talk about Miami.
Who? Tim who?
The guy from Twitter.
Oh.
He's a Miami fan.
All right. Sure.
We'll make it quick.
Hello.
Yes. Is this Tim? The Tim?
This is Tim.
Hey, Tim. What's going on, brother?
What's up?
I heard your team finally won a game.
Well, almost. I need Larry Fitzgerald to score me 2.6 points.
No, not fantasy, dude. We're not talking fantasy. Your stupid Miami Dolphins, I heard, finally won a game. The worst team.
All it took was the meniscus in Roethlisberger's knee explode.
I was going to say, all it took was Big Ben.
Win's a win. W's a W, buddy.
Is that the first one for the? Is that the first one of the year for you?
No, it's our second.
Second.
Okay.
Who else did they beat?
They beat Cleveland.
Oh, right. Great.
Hey, Cleveland has been putting up. They've been putting up a fight with everybody. So, you know.
They've been putting up a fight and losing to everybody. They're gonna go 0-16.
They're on pace. They're not favored in a single game.
How's Tannehill doing this year, bud?
Oh, not good. Not good at all.
No. So the Dolphins aren't that good. This is Tim. He's from Miami. He lives here right now.
Oh, okay.
He's one of our Twitter fans, and I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, thanks, man.
To break down the Miami game for us. Was there anything that you saw out of Miami that you enjoyed in that game? That you see that they might be able to do something, or are they done?
No. What I did like is that when each player did their job. You know what I mean? So in other words, when their number was called, if it was Landry catching a pass, if it was Jai going in, you know, making a run. I mean, they all did what they had to do. So it was the good thing was it seemed really balanced. You know, it wasn't too one-sided or, you know, too much luck, you know?
No, it's so they executed well.
They finally did something. Your guys are going to end up with a new coach and a new – they got a new coach.
They have a new coach.
But you're the only ones that didn't get rid of a lot of the staff. They tried to keep the people in place that they had, and it didn't work. I'm sorry, dude. They signed Foster. He's still hurt. Miami's done.
They're not done.
You're in D.C. Can you just be a Redskins fan now? Come on, bud. You're my boy. Let's just be Redskins fans together. Pee-hole kiss every Sunday. High five. What's that?
That's almost as bad.
You don't want a pee hole kiss with me? I thought we were friends.
All right, Tim. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, Tim. Thanks, brother.
Later. That was caller Tim. What's Tim's Twitter handle?
Give me a sec.
It's all good. It's all good. We can discuss what's left of the week. Oakland had a chance to show that they were wanting to run away with the AFC West. Instead, Andy Reid, I believe, is 16-2 after bye weeks. Comes in after a bye week, does his thing, crushes them, which was sad because they really had some momentum going. And maybe I'm prejudiced because you're a little kid. You see a team that looks badass as fuck. NWA wears their hats. Bo Jackson plays for them. I think we're all, unless you were an AFC West kid, you have a soft spot for the Raiders.
Oh, we all do.
Yeah,
we all do.
Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl.
Absolutely. And it's at this is Tim Brown.
There you go.
Now, that being said, yeah, I even had, I remember with all my Redskins figures when I was a kid and helmets, I always had the Raiders one there too, just because the silver and black looks cool.
Exactly. It's badass. They got a fucking like pirate.
And Bo Jackson. I was a huge Bo Jackson fan, just like every other kid too.
The most depressing thing that happened this week, I mean, if you had like a kid die of leukemia,
Jesus.
I guess that'll beat it. But Dallas looked amazing, dismantling the Green Bay Packers.
I have a certain friend named John
who
says, all you got to do is put a mean, nasty offense lineup and they'll produce.
Yes, everyone will look like a virtuoso.
But now all of a sudden they have two freaking rookies that are, both of them could be rookie of the year. Dak and Zeke could both be rookies of the year.
A lot of K's in those.
And Nicole, if you're listening to this, I know you're a Tony Romo fan. She's all the way in Germany.
Oh. She's Romo-licious.
She loves Romo and she loves male cheerleaders. But
thank God we don't have those at the NFL level.
if you break it down statistics, the Cowboys have the second best rushing game in the league and the 21st passing.
Really? I didn't realize it was that big a differential. Okay, there's so there's still something to pray for.
But when Dak has to, he did it. He had to get there. He dropped back. Has he thrown an interception yet?
Yeah, he threw a pick and he's had a fumble.
In six games.
Yes.
Two turnovers.
He broke Tom Brady's rookie record streak without a pick.
So Eli in a quarter is what he's done in a season.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Fourth round pick. Once again, as you said, and Howard, if he was here, why are you guys giving up these 3-4 years of first round picks to get a quarterback when these kids that can manage a game and you put these nasty offensive linemen out there?
Just really get five fucking orcs that you would have seen in Lord of the Rings as your front five. Who wants to go through that shit?
They've had injuries though. Their backups are better than most starters.
Oh, their depth is insane. They got that sick. It was that fucking L. Collins.
The guy as an undrafted free agent?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's hurt. He's hurt.
It sounds like one of Superman's relatives. There's like Jor-El, Kal-El, and La-El.
They're sick. Their line.
Yeah, they got him for a fucking song because apparently like his girlfriend was murdered like a week after he peaced out with her, and they're like, there's a chance he did that. And I'm like, take a flyer on the motherfucker.
It's amazing. No one took a seventh round pick on a guy. That
well,
was
he could have
be...
just sat and been like, fuck you. But that was the worry.
And they gave him the biggest contract they could. But
exactly. Like legally, they were like, this is all he can get is undrafted.
But when he signed with the Cowboys, I'm sort of going...
Oh, I was livid. I was livid.
They have starting tackle, bookend tackles. Their guards are great. Their center's great. Where are you going to fit in? And they fit him in as a guard. But, God, their offensive line is sick. They have running backs.
Sometimes they just put him in as a sixth lineman just to show off.
Why not? I would, too. You're tight end for a minute.
Exactly.
Go make fun of everybody else. See what we have. We have so many good linemen. We're just going to put you in.
Just run into the defensive line.
Hey, go out as a wide receiver them. And then come in tight.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it. All I can pray for. This is like when Homer was going to box Dredrick Tatum, and they're like, picture yourself winning. And he's in the ring, and they're like, Dredrick Tatum, moments before the fight, was felled by a congenital heart condition. That's what, like, all I can hope is that Romo comes back and they're like, we have to give it back to Tony, and it fucking screws the mojo from head to toe and the team implodes and Romo's ready to go for like two more years and the shit gets hairy as hell and it bitters Dak, and Dak, the instant he gets out of his rook contract, is like double pumpers, Tupac fuck the world you guys, and goes to, I don't know, some team that we don't have to play twice a year. Some team I don't hate. Go to Denver. Make them good. I like them.
How do you go from 5-1 and bring somebody else in? They need to give Jerry his meds if they pull Dak out.
They will. They will.
No, I don't think they will. I'll put $10 on it. Tony's done.
Okay, here's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter which way they go. It's going to be a fucking shit show when he's ready to play. If you sit his ass, it's going to be a shit show, especially if the kid has any sort of issues. If they bring him in and he's Tony Romo, it'll be a fucking shit typhoon.
I agree with you.
So, you know what? We're going to win either way. Okay. Sit back and relax.
I'm breathing because I hate
Sip
Dallas
your cognac,
so much.
Get a contact.
But I don't know. With what I'm seeing, if they just pretend that Tony's still hurt.
Go out there and re-hurt him just to be safe.
Tony got hurt in practice. He's done for the season.
Yeah.
IR.
Find the only snowy stairs in Dallas and make him shovel them. And then kick him down just to be safe. And then we wrap up with Indy giving away a game to the Texans who had no business winning it. That was
4-2 Texans. Though.
I always talk about, the Sunday night game being the marquee matchup. That was the shittiest Sunday night lineup I have seen in some time. And I guess going into the season... Week 6, you can't flex that early, and you're like, look, they got Andrew Luck on one side, they got, Osweiler, who's probably going to be balling out, you got J.J. Watt, it's going to be a good matchup. Now fucking Watt's out for the year, Osweiler eats shit, and Chuck Pagano's a fucking idiot. He's going to be on his ass. Hopefully him and the manager. I think Grigson is his name. I could be very wrong on that one. The manager for the Colts fucking eats shit. Pagano's an idiot. Like, Pagano needs to kiss the cancer that grew in his balls every day.
Agreed.
The career he's had, because Arian stepped in, had that team that was about to implode. Brian's leaving to take a piss. I'm going to wrap up the show once he's done. That's what happens when you drink a fucking six-pack in the car and think I don't notice it, but I do. I smelled it on your breath. He drank a lot in the car, but don't worry, cops who are listening. He's sober for the drive home. I am going to play the Tecmo. No, not the Tecmo. I'm going to play the Vince Lombardi Power Sweep outro. If you ever wanted to know where this weird sound effect is from, just Google on YouTube. That's the thing to do. Look up on YouTube Vince Lombardi Power Sweep, and it's just Vince Lombardi and his thick accent, his Italian accent, explaining how to execute the power sweep. This was Papa's Football Podcast. I am John Papa Giorgio. I was joined today by Brian Bolte, great co-host. He goes out there, he gets the guests. Love the guy. You want to follow me on Twitter? I won't be live tweeting games right now because I'm taking that goddamn stand-up class through him, but I'm at Papa's Basement. My main show is inpapasbasement.com, hosted there. Show's name's Papa's Basement. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher. Find Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher as well. Man, that clip is not as long as I wanted it to be. We have to go through it a second time. Also, thanks to Pete McCorvey. I got it right.
Pete Mac.
By our powers combined, McCovey and McCorvey, we got it right. He's good again. Yeah, give the Twitter handle for him.
At Pete McCorvey.
Yes.
Actually, hold on. I apologize.
I apologize.
I don't remember him because somehow I'm on some guy named Tim's.
Petey Mac 89.
And give a shout out to Dolphin Tim.
Dolphin Tim is at This Is Tim Brown.
There you go. Let's see. PFPod.com. Every show we've done for football is hosted there. YouTube.com/ Papa's Basement. A video for every Papa's Basement and every Papa's Football Podcast is there. If you ever wanted to confirm that radio people are indeed ugly people inside and out, go there. Till the next one, we're out of here.